the heresies to be called partakers. Not only their nature, but to be partakers.
Oh my God.
Of Christ, of the fullness. Oh yes, to be partakers of the Godhead through Christ. My God. For you chose Christ before Alpha. You before the beginning. And Lord, you say you have made him to be the head over all creation in all the generations of time and even beyond time. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the power of your choice. For the power of your choice is good. We say it is good.
Amen.
Lord, we receive the ability to respond to this love. And we say, Abba. Father. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. We yield to your spirit. We yield to the touch of your spirit. We yield to the breath of your spirit, this breath of life. Jesus. Blessed be your name. We thank you for giving us the cup of joy, the oil of justice, for money. The garment of praise for heaviness. We bring the heaviness of the day.
I am an animal.
We exchange it for the lightness.
Oh, yes.
Of your countenance.
Hallelujah.
So lift up your countenance.
Oh, yes.
That you will bless and keep us. Lord, that you will lift up your countenance. And be merciful of God. Lord, you cause your faith to shine upon our hearts. Oh my God. And give us peace. We receive peace. We receive your touch. Oh, we receive the blast of your nostril. That you might blow away the terrible ones.
Yes, Lord.
And blow away all the lies of
it. Amen.
Lord, that the blast of your nostril will tear this veil.
Amen.
The veil of our past, of the failures of the past.
Oh my God.
Of the conscience of sin. The veil of our humanity, of the flesh, of the coverings of the emotions, of the will, my God. Rather, you might speak,
Oh my God.
For we say your servant here. Let the voice of the Lord be strong.
Amen.
Be strong upon the mountains to cause them to skip. Upon the pregnant ones. This pregnancy will not be aborted.
Amen.
Bring forth, let the voice of the Lord be strong.
Amen.
Upon the heart of the king's enemies. Upon the strength of the enemies of our enemies. Let the arrows of our Lord be strong. To cast them down, to slay them all. Let the enemies be destroyed. The one will chase a thousand. And as many as well will chase multitudes. Oh Lord, let this covering of spirits be broken.
Amen.
This yoke of the flesh. Let them be broken over.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yes.
We come against the whisperings of the devil.
Budus.
The whisperings of lies. The deception. The whisperings,
yes,
that bring depression.
That
bring
power in the name
that bring
Jesus
condemnation. That
Jesus
brings
voice
oppression. That brings oppression upon the mind, upon the emotion. We ask that covering will be cast even this mountain of Zion.
Lift it away.
Let
in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 We'll receive.
Yes,
we'll
Lord. Hallelujah.
Blessed be
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, as I was saying, I had this dream. I had this dream. There were two things that came in that dream. Maybe three, but one was on Abba.
Amen.
The other one was on the conscience of sins. There's a third one. I'm still trying to figure it out. But so I'm looking at. Well, I guess that dream was for this meeting. So I just want to follow that thing that came. I'm looking at two sets of scriptures here. One on the there are three scriptures that talk about Abba Father. That there are just three references. You know, so I would like the reference to be read. Then we will move on to talking about the conscience of sin. Hopefully. The first scripture is Mark 14:36. So I don't know if any of the children will read. Mark 14:36.
You passed my over, please read.
Pardon?
So I will read.
Bible.
Can you read it?
He said Mark
14:36. Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, what thou wilt.
Okay. So this was by Jesus speaking. So the first use of that word Abba was Mark 14:36.
Okay.
Was by Jesus. He was first person that spoke about that use. So it gives us a context for it. Abba, Father. You can see how it was spoken. There's a fondness. There's an intimacy that comes. And when you use the word Father, it speaks of a relationship. Okay. It speaks of a relationship. It speaks of a father-son relationship. And if we read our last scripture, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1.
I'm reading the Bible.
Ephesians 1.
Can't you hear?
Ephesians 1:1-3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, the inheritance, all the blessings, is in Christ in heavenly places. And it is given to Christ. And it says that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, when it says in the beginning God created, that is the Alpha, the creating. There was a reality before the creating of that, and that reality was Christ. And the scripture says that he chose us in him. You know, so God saw you and saw me in Christ. So before Genesis, there has been a reality. And that reality, I have a part in it. That is, was it not Moses that said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all
generations.
Before the mountains were formed of rock forms. You know, so the scriptures are saying that there has been a reality. So the reality of Christ has been even before Alpha, when he created the world. So in creating the world, it was for the purpose of the Son. You know, so when Jesus comes, many, many years after, when he was born at the 4th century upon the earth, that 4th time, towards the end of that Roman Empire, well, they say 4 BC, whatever time, but that was not the beginning of Jesus. It was only a manifestation of the Christ that has been before time. I don't know if you understand. So,
yeah.
Christ has been even before Genesis. Jesus, yeah. Christ was there before. So when he said, let us make man in our image, there was a plan and a purpose for making man, for creating the mountains and the hills. It was, so Colossians says that all things we are made by him, for him, through him, and unto him. So he is the reference point. You know. And you know, so when he says Abba Father, he's speaking many things are being spoken, are being brought forth in that thing. And the glory of faith is that it's not just the Son alone, but that God designed that there will be a people in the Son.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
And if you look at Ephesians, we'll look at another scripture. We'll come back to this, but we'll just see how the Spirit of God brings it to us. Ephesians 2, if you come, sorry, not Ephesians, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2, 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be
equal.
That means he didn't think that the inheritance of being part of the Godhead should be exclusive. That is, in the mind of God, Christ speaks of a many-membered body or expression of God. You know, it's going to be a body of sons, of overcomers, you know, that will populate that body. You know, so Christ knew, and every son should know and must know. If you are a son, that is what he. So when you speak of Abba, it is a prophetic word. You are speaking of, is that a declaration of Alpha and Omega, and the plan of God in all all generations that that heaven will be populated by sons.
Amen.
You understand? Mm-hmm. You know, so it is a prophecy, and it is the bedrock of God's plan. You know that in the generations of men, God will choose sons. You know, and the people that are sons are overcomers in their own generation.
Amen.
So in every generation, God, there is a standard that is used to choose overcomers. So as the ages have rolled on and iniquity has rolled on, the standard has been going up and going up. But in every generation, there has always been overcomers. You know, the scripture says God will not live himself without
a
remnant. Who are the witness? You know, and what are you witnessing? That witness is to Christ, is to that plan of God.
Hallelujah.
To have a son.
Hallelujah.
You know, so when it says Abba, Father, it is the cry of, you know, it's the cry, in fact, it is the, it's like saying, God, that which you had in mind is being fulfilled in me. When you say Abba, Father, that is, I'm responding to the heart of God. Because God has desired us, you know. So he says, he made himself of no reputation. He said, touch is not robbery to be equal with God. But seven says, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. Now, if we were to have time to go into the Greek, he said, when he said made himself, it means that he emptied himself. That was the Greek word is kenosis. He emptied himself of God that he might fill himself with humanity. So it's a two-way state of mind. God emptied himself of God. Therefore, man must empty himself of man.
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
You know, so he emptied himself of God, poured it out so that I can receive it.
Amen.
And then he those who will be sons,
Amen.
Who will overcome in their own time, Amen. Must empty themselves
Amen.
Of man, of the rebellion of their time, that they might put on God.
Amen.
You know, so that is the mind. So any son must be thus minded. My mind will be to say Abba, Father. That is, I am responding to God. Abba is a response to God. So God, I agree. I take the offer to be a son. And in being a son, I put off my humanity.
Amen.
You know, because it says, if you look at Colossians 2, it says the fullness, Colossians 2:9, the fullness of the Godhead was made bodily in him. So if man was still there, then there was not any place for God, you understand? So there was an emptying of God that the humanity might be submitted and subjected to Christ. So who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness. If God was made in the likeness of man, it is a prophecy that man can also be made in the likeness of God.
Amen.
And that is the Abba Father. You understand? Mm-hmm. You know, it says, as we have borne, mm-hmm. we see another scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. It says, as we have borne the image of the eternal, so also we must bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is the thought of Abba, of sonship. You know, a people that will respond to God and meet that desire in God's mind for sons. The scripture that's coming to me is in Hebrews. So let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews, I don't know whether it's a 1 or 2.
Hebrews 1.
I don't know if it's 1 or 2. Let me look at that. Okay, it says, verse 1 says, God go at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You understand? So God spoke in his Son. Again, bring it that reference point that it is sonship. And you know, if you look at the tabernacle, the longest dimension, that's the longest vision, is 100 cubits. And that number 100 speaks of the Son. And you see it expressed in Abraham, when he was 100 years old, that was when he brought forth his Son. You understand? So the farthest vision, that is from the beginning of time, even before time, God was looking down, and at the end of God, of his work upon the earth. In fact, when he began that word, he says, in the beginning was the Father. That was the beginning of the manifestation of that vision. And the end point of it is that God will have his Son. You understand? So he says, he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, where he had by himself purged our sins, and sat down the right hand of majesty. That was the beginning. Okay, let's look at chapter 2. Let's start from 5, Hebrews 2, 5. You see, for unto the angels had he not in subjection the word to come, whereof he speaks. And this should be an authority for you to rebuke the devil.
Amen.
You know, it says, for unto the angels had he not put in subjection the word to come. The angels of which the angel class of God's creation, God did not propose that they will be in a place of rulership. So when the devil comes and he begins to rule, we have an authority to say,
amen,
you do not have the authority.
Amen.
Over you personally, over the affairs of your loved ones or your children or your affairs in the world, as we are praying about Nigeria, praying about the nation, we have authority. Because the Bible says the heavens rule over the affairs of men and determine who to go and who to not go. You understand? So, we see the devil spreading himself wide. The reason why he's doing that is because God has given authority to darkness. You understand? Darkness has to manifest in the season of midnight.
Mm-hmm.
That darkness must come to the full so that it will be broken forever.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that was why I went before time, for us to understand God's purpose in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of God is that there will be a Son.
Mm-hmm.
And in bringing forth a Son, he chose to bring the Son from the earth.
Yes.
That originally meant he knew himself that there will be darkness.
Hallelujah.
You understand? In fact, he quarantined darkness in mind. If you understand. He quarantined, he got the darkness within the soul. That's why he wanted it.
Mm.
And he has given darkness within the soul of men authority to be fully expressed in the generations of man. But as that darkness is going, there will also be a people who are coming from that darkness, but who say, we will not have darkness to seal our soul.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
And Those are the remnant. Those are the sons. You understand? So it is a matter of choice. Do I choose darkness or not? It's not a matter of if we bring it down to my my little affairs. You know, do I have food to eat? Haven't I eaten food? I'm feeling not too good. I'm feeling fine. I'm good. I'm not good. Those are very little minor details. So you need to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that God is choosing a son.
Amen.
God wants a son.
That's right.
In the earth. So you have before time, the matter of sonship began before even he says in the beginning was. You understand? And after he says, oh my God, when time has closed, that is when sonship will begin. Don't you understand? So in the little period of time that each one is given, however it is to choose you. You give me and me an authority, that is an opportunity to choose whether I will be a son. And to decide whether I want to be part of this Abba Father crying people. So everyone is given an opportunity to say Abba. You understand? You know, you say, okay, let me just jump out of this and get into these two scriptures, and I'll jump back again. Alright, but you know, it's very sweet. Look at Romans 8:15.
That's my scripture.
For you have not received
this.
The spirit of bondage again to fear. Mm-hmm. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Where we're going is beyond. It's beyond my strength.
Hallelujah.
It's beyond resolution because the will has no power. So don't even go near the will to ask him to help you.
Yes.
The will can say, okay. I'm going to make a resolution that from today I will be a son. You cannot be a son.
No.
By that power of your will.
No.
You know, being a son is by
the spirit.
The spirit.
Hallelujah.
Of adoption. Aha. You know? So, but we'll come there. We'll come there. Let's look at this other one. I just wanted to read through the scriptures. We are coming there. Galatians 4:6 is the last scripture. I talk about Abba. Father. And because are you okay, you are coming. Let me wait for you. Galatians 4:6.
Galatians. Use my Bible. The letters are too small.
In the glasses.
Okay. And because ye are sons, God has sent for the spirit of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Into your heart or your soul or your mind, crying.
Into your heart.
We're talking about Hebrews 2:5. So you have to use your hand and put it, if you put it here, you just put it in a different place and you turn it around. Amen. So it says, but unto the angels has he not put in subjection the word to come. Not even this one. They don't have the authority, even though this one now is temporary, because it's the God of this world. Because they are chosen to walk through darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that darkness came through that seed of the mind of good and evil. I know it says knowledge of good. I just wanted to emphasize to you that has to do with the mind. It says the seed of the knowledge of good and evil. That walking was in the mind. Because of course, you know we have knowledge. You know, so there was a seed that was planted in the mind, in the knowledge, in those eyes of understanding, the ability to be aware, that consciousness, that was where darkness came in.
I began to multiply.
So we will come to, we will talk about the conscience of sins later. But that was the Genesis. But God was in control. I want you to understand. He knew what was happening. He knew what the work was. And he has never been taken unawares by what is happening. You look at the world today, we are moving from the fifth trumpet into the sixth trumpet. We are moving from the fifth seal into the sixth seal. So in this transition, you can see the whole world is conflagrating. There is a stirring, you know. The emotions of men are being passionate, are being inflamed. It is a generational inflammation, don't you understand? So you have all kinds of things. And there's a stirring, there's a boiling that is coming forth. And the purpose of it is this one wound, you know, the nature of man is being made bitter. You can no longer be placated. That is you. You, there's nothing to do to satisfy it, because it is the locust spirit that is working. It is the locust spirit, and the locust spirit is the chief prince of the spirits of darkness. You understand? Because when the locust comes, it's
expressing blood, doesn't it?
I'm looking at the place in Egypt.
I'm
looking at Revelation 9. It says, at the end of 8, he says, there are three more plagues to come. And say, woe upon the earth for the three plagues coming. And the first of those plagues was the locust. So when he opened, when the fifth trumpet blew, the fifth trumpet is the trumpet of the golden altar.
Offering of the soul.
That is the place of the offering. So you're looking at emotions and passions. You understand? I said there was an altar. There was when you blew it, that the bottomless, the key, you understand, was given, and the bottomless pit was opened.
Aye.
And there were spirits that were
meant to be tamed.
Do you know what they did? Said they darkened the sun and the moon.
Hey, hey.
In other words, they brought darkness upon the earth. That's
the covering.
And that was, you see, and that they had authority over any man who did not have the mark
of
the
beast. Christ.
Of Christ
on his forehead. The forehead is the mind.
That's right. So the local spirit has been struggling to manifest itself in the mind of man.
Jehovah.
But now he's been given authority. So you have Isis. Isis is a mutant spirit.
Yeah.
And the local spirit, you find in Revelation 9, is a hybrid spirit. It's mutated. The ISIS came out of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda came out of a movement, you understand? A very benign movement.
And there was another one that surfaced in Kenya too.
Of course, Al-Shabaab.
Yeah.
Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, ISIS, Al-Qaeda are all part of the Sunni Muslim militancy. Alright? That is coming forth. But don't get carried away with that. You know, because it has a function within the context. The context is the locust spirit. You understand? Now, those locusts, you say they had the head or hair of a woman, the teeth of a lion, the tail of a scorpion, when he speaks, it's like, so it's a hybrid spirit. The base of that spirit is in Daniel 8 and 9. I don't know if I'm turning around too much. It says that the fourth beast that shall come upon the earth
shall be diverse.
Hey.
It has those characterizations. It is so fierce that it will stamp and break in pieces everything.
Hey.
So it is a spirit that was transforming the nature of man. And that's what you're saying. You understand? So, yes.
The fourth piece isn't specific to a certain time period.
No, it's like that fourth beast is the last.
Yeah.
You understand? So there is no other spirit going to come after it. In other words, so it is going to be the manifestation and the
fullness of darkness.
Of that darkness and rebellion that is coming forth in the mind.
So
you understand? In the mind. So it is struggling to manifest itself. So the time period is that it is the fourth is the last. Now, if you look at the four beasts given in Daniel 7:8-9. Okay, it's the last one, of course, he spoke of the Roman Empire, all right? Now, we know that the Roman Empire is prophetically is speaking about the end time. So, because the Roman culture is the last of all the cultures that have come upon the earth. So, the whole of Europe and America is near Europe, and that thing is spreading. So, is that spirit, you understand? That so it has been coming all through the ages, but maximized in the Roman time, and the strength of it is Baal, that is pleasure, worship of pleasure, and violence. You understand? Okay, so those are the two things, and so you see that is what is becoming dominant in the world today.
Yeah.
Passion, entertainment, and the rebellion. You know, that is rising up. In children, in families, and so on and all that. So it is a local spirit. And when it comes, it's not the last. But you see, all the trumpets, when they blow, they continue to blow. You don't blow and stop. The same thing with Passover. When the message of being born again began, it's still blowing till today. And you should get stronger. You understand? The message of Pentecost, which is the second one, started to blow on the day of Pentecost, you understand, I have been blowing also. But you have the last one. We are not coming to that last trumpet of this coming forth of the life, of the fullness of the light of God. Remember, is also. So while this is going on, there will be a people who are rejecting that message, who do not want it. And for those who do not have that seal in their mind, it says the locust is going to come and take away. Now the line that is being taken away is speak of tenderness, the emotions, and you see the locust going for the green. Green speaks of life. You understand? Now, if you look at Isaiah 11, it says that the lion will eat grass like the ox. So he's saying that. Lion naturally does not feed on grass. Mm-hmm. What does it feed on?
On the flesh.
On the flesh, carnality. Mm-hmm. Alright? Now, there is a place where man and the devil meet. There's a meeting point between man and the devil. And God knows it. You know the place? It's the head. You saw it. Okay? You see, he took the head and he formed the man. So God breathed. So that breath of God that came into the head was a seed God planted, and there must be a harvest of it. But he told the serpent, says, this earth is also your food. You understand? So the place where man meets the devil, it's carnality. You understand? So the strength of the devil has to be carnality. And the lowest part of man is carnality. That is the emotion, don't you understand? And the desires. So the emotion and the desire is the agent, or put it the right way, is that the gates of hell. That is the doorway through which the devil has access into the soul of man. I don't know if you are getting the you understand. So the doorway of the devil into my heart must be through passions, emotions and desire, because those are the lowest. The desires are depicted by the creeping nature. It says you must overcome the creeping things. The creeping belly nature, okay, of man is the emotion, is sorry, and the desires, is just on the ground. And but that's the power of the devil. So the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes are referring to the desire. You understand? But you see, it is magnified. So the devil knows that the way he is going to get man is to tie him down in his desires. Okay, so everything that is in the world today is designed for to entice
desire.
Inflame the desire. All right, entertainment, and all the things. It's there. In other words, the devil wants to feed me with pleasure, but he wants a life. So he gives you pleasure. So if I'm pleasure seeking,
are we listening?
If I seek pleasure, then I have opened myself. So that is that lion nature. Now, but the seeking the pleasure, the locust is walking. So what the locust does is that it takes away the ability to even desire the life of God. Because look at what it says. That in those days, men shall desire death. I shall not find it. You know what it says? Bottomless pit. That is you seeking entertainment, but never ever filled with entertainment. So you take the drugs, never ever filled with it. They bring sexuality, put it, never ever filled with it. They bring power for you, never ever filled with it. You know, so whatever you have pursued the career, at the end of the day of the career, you have all the PhDs in the world, you have all the things you want, at the end of it, the man is a miserable man. Look at this Jerry Savile, right? They just joined his brother now, his friend. They joined him today. You have no, 20 years. History. He was jailed for historical sexual abuse over time. That's, if the man was alive, they would have jailed him, just like he has died. You understand? No, it's not. They didn't give him position. It was his colleague
that has now
been jailed. Because that one, I think they are seeing him. So
they can't be jailing the one.
And maybe he was also part of it.
No, Harry. Something. There was one name they mentioned. But the point I'm trying to make is that this is a man. He was an idol. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, what was it? You understand? See the emptiness. So you look at all the things. So is the same belly. Thing we're talking about. So that local spirit. So it is rising more and more. And this uprising you see, it's the same thing. You know, somebody say black. I'm not black. I'm not anything. But the truth is that this is generations of emotional bitterness that's been stirred. So it was an investment the devil was making.
Yes.
Now he wants to reap it. Yes. Because right now, it's not that he shot one black boy who went and stole. The issue is. Is that racial thing, and there is no way to solve it. You understand? So it's you're looking at a spirit that is being released, and it is, you know. So when you talk about the offering of the soul, the thing is, what am I offering my soul unto? Is it unto the darkness, passions, or I now want to bring it and give it to God? All right, and so that is what it is speaking about here, you know, about these angels. So the rule and dominion of the devil is to inflame the passions. You know, that is what he has, passion, and then the other one, the pride of life. That's emotions, all right, pride. And if you look at all the things that you have to deal with, if you really look at it, the base of it is what? Yes, pride. Attitude, you know, attitude that tend to promote self. You know, I'm not respected. My opinions are not respected. My person is not respected. Is not acknowledged, and so on. All right, and that is there, and that is what you call the pride of life. And it is a doorway to hell.
Yes.
Because when I begin to rise up to defend my position. Then I have opened a big door that you may not be able to contain. Because, and you say a brother offended, it's like to bring him out is like stronger than bars of a castle. You understand? So what is it that causes offense? It's a pride of life. You understand? I don't want people to trample on my rights. You understand? But what did Christ do? He laid down.
Amen.
He laid it down.
Amen.
And he was trampled upon.
Oh yeah, man.
You know? So, if we are going to overcome this local spirit, then we must have the mind
of Christ.
That's to empty ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Of this humanity.
Let this mind be in me.
And to empty myself, that means I want to be a son.
Yes.
You understand? I'm saying Abba. Abba, say Abba is not an English word. It is, I'm saying in my life, Father, I want to be a son. That is, not just say I'm in this my situation, I must be a son. I'm a son. You understand? So it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. You understand? Now, if we're going back to that Hebrews 2, look at verse. It says, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory
and honor. Hallelujah.
And he sent him over the works of God. Let me just say something about glory before I forget. See? You see, that green thing, that green that the ox feeds, you know, you say the lion feeds, it means to desire the life of God. Now, the life of God is different from darkness. Darkness is what beyond, and darkness is sadness and happiness mixed together. That's darkness. I don't know, are we in agreement? Darkness means knowledge of good and evil. It's good mixed with evil. So, you win some and lose some. Some days you are happy, some days you are sad.
Some days you are awful.
Some days you are down. So that is the life we have known. It's darkness. The life of God has three qualities. Alright? Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians 15. Let's bring it out. I am hearing some...
He's tired.
I just went to pull my leg.
1 Corinthians 15. 15 what?
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, let's start from 15 to 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all
sleep.
But we shall all
be changed.
Amen.
We shall not all sleep. I like that speech.
Verse 52 says, in a moment. That's a real special. That moment means the word is atomos. It means a fixed time. So that is the end time. There's a time given for the change. You understand? In a moment means there's a fixed time God in which this change is going to be. That is it. So midnight is a period of time. And it is in this midnight that is the time to change. That's when it is so bad. That's when light must overcome that one.
Amen.
If not, that light doesn't have good quality. You must subject the light to the worst of darkness. So that when the light breaks the darkness, there will not be any more darkness to break.
Amen.
But we're not coming to England again. When we go through this, we are finished with it, because there we will receive light. Don't you? We shall be the light. So we don't need to go through all the stress of England, government bus, and all the things. You understand? The purpose of that is to, from us, for your soul and my soul, to be exposed to darkness, so that it will overcome the darkness. That's why you are here. You understand? So if you have that mind, when you are going through these things, you have the mind of a son. And you say, Abba. Father, you understand? You're not going to be complaining. So in that situation, you have rejoicing.
Amen.
So, oh God, thank you for casting me worthy to be among those to go through life. You understand? The purpose of life is to expose you to darkness so that your soul will also overcome. You understand? So, in a moment, at the twinkling of the eye, twinkling means change in the focus of the eyes of your understanding.
Amen.
You understand? So when the eyes of understanding begin to change, then you are ready for the change. Because instead of your eyes being open to darkness, it's now being open to the light.
You see,
that
God,
is the change.
You see, God is more than your
brother. Because it says, you see, when the man was born, the eyes of my understanding were darkened. You understand? It says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them. So the man is born and the eyes of his mind are all, he can't figure, he don't know who God is. You are blind. You don't know. You understand? You don't even know what. But when the eyes begin to open, you say, ah, Abba, Father. You understand? It's a realization. You are seeing the reality of God for the first time. You know, it says, I have not seen. No, ears have. Which eyes is it talking about? You see, the things that God has wrote. But the next verse says, but it is being revealed
by His Spirit.
By His Spirit. So there's a place where the eyes are opening and there's a revelation of Christ coming. Alright? And that is bringing a new appetite for God.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes.
Where I had my appetite like the lion to eat, feed on flesh. You know, flesh is blood, human life. You know, what is it in human life? Carnality. Cheating, willing, and dealing, lying, and doing, you know, cutting corners. That's man. You run over other people, take advantage of them. That is a lion. Emotional intelligence. You're able to suppress others, manipulate them, take advantage of them. You're a big man. You're successful.
What's going
on? You know, you understand. Mm-hmm. But this man is not going that way because he's a son. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he's going to feed. He's going to walk in the things that bring the life of God. You know. So when my emotions have appetite for the things that don't have the life of God. But right now, when I see those things, it says they have loved righteousness. I hated it.
Wickedness.
That my soul begins to hate the things that do not have loneliness. So the man comes and there's no life of God, there's no appetite. You know, the big grammar, kingdom was Zion, hallelujah, praise the Lord, sons of God, tabernacle of God, there's no life. You understand? It's nothing doing. So, because the soul is now has to see, there's a quality of life it has seen. And you can never take it away from it.
Yeah.
So it says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You see the time again. The last trump is the trumpet of midnight. The last trump is the trumpet that sounds at the midnight. What did he say? He said there were five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. You know so?
Mm-hmm.
The wise virgins took oil in their mind, in their soul, in their vessel. The foolish ones did not do that. But they had oil in their lamp. The lamp is, you know, they're just born again and possibly filled with the Spirit. But not enough. Because the destination of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the soul.
Mm.
Because it says that He has given us the Spirit of promise. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a promise God is giving to you that your soul will also be baptized.
Amen.
You understand? So the Pentecostal church has a promise. They are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost goes, is a quickening for the Spirit. You understand? It's the purpose of that quickening the Spirit is that the soul might be saved. That the soul might come into that place where it begins to feed upon the life of God. Alright? So these foolish virgins, they know about it. They know about the doctrine, but are not walking in it. The word has not gone to the belly to walk in bitterness, to walk in repentance. You understand?
Repentance is repentance.
And in other words, so the mind must come to the golden, the brazen altar. So that is the best place to start. My mind must come to the brazen altar. My mind must come to the labor to be judged. All right, and all that. So he said, the twinkling of an eye, and the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
Amen.
And we shall be changed.
Amen.
Now it says, for this corruptible
must put on
incorruption. Hallelujah.
And this mortal
must put on immortality.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, as is written, death. It's swallowed up. So the message of the last trumpet, that is a message that is calling the bride to enter into the bride chamber.
Amen.
That bride chamber is the holiest of all.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So this is the message that is bringing the church to the place of the gold of the at altar of incense, to that place where man and God will be joined together. That is the amber, Father. You understand? That is, I'm saying, oh my God, I have finally come there. You know, I've come to that place where I can be intimate with God. Now look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:16. You know, it brings something exciting. It says
1 Corinthians 6:16.
It's actually 6:17, but it starts with 16.
First Corinthians 6:16.
What know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One spirit.
Amen. Can you be joined? Can you be joined unto the Lord?
Yes.
All right. Can you be joined to idols?
Yes.
Good. So it says, Ephraim is joined to idols. You understand? So this joining, remember, is the soul. The soul, the highest point of the mind, of the soul, of course, you know, is the mind. And the highest point of the mind is the conscience. And the conscience is the part of your mind where the mind is joined to your spirit and therefore the spirit of God. So there are three things. That is your mind, the spirit of God,
and the spirit
and your own spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the conscience. It's the highest part of the mind. Now, at that highest point, that's where you have the highest point of the heart also. The heart is the core, all right, of a thing. So the heart of man is in different levels. There is the heart that is at the level of your body, and it's not your natural this organ called heart. The heart is in the head. It's the brain that connects, and you know, so all the workings of your body is located in the brain. You understand? And the brain is located, it's controlled by the soul. You understand? Mm. The body is ruled by the soul. You understand? So at the level of the soul also, you have the heart, because the emotions and those four parts, they have a central point in which they, so there is a heart at that point. So your heart has control over your body, and also at the level of your soul. And then at the highest dimension of the soul, which is the mind, you also have, so you have the different layers. You understand? But the point was that when darkness was coming into man, it went to the highest, deepest part. And that was where the seed was introduced. You understand? So God did the purposely, because he had to give the devil all opportunity to bring the seed of darkness. Because God's purpose was to destroy darkness in the people. And you destroy darkness by the choice you make. And it is every day I'm
making. Amen.
Every day. So Brabo says that God is in the Greek word is exousia. You are given the power to choose.
Become.
So for you to overcome, it's not what you do, it is your decision. The decision you make is the altar you bring to God. It's the sacrifice. You bring an offering to God by your decision, the things you decide to do. I am coming to fellowship today. It's a sacrifice you brought to God. You understand? You may be tired, you may be weak, you know, but the thing is, I am coming to God. So when you come, you have opened your heart to God.
Hallelujah.
You understand? So when you want to change, the change is a decision you make.
Mm.
Not a resolution. I will do so and so. No. I say, Lord, I want to be a son.
Amen.
That is the change.
Enable me.
Now, if I want to be a son, the next option is what? I begin to cry. Oh my God, help me. To be, not to say I will be a son. No. It's not by your power. What I will do this.
No.
It is to cry out to God. Now, when you start crying out to God, God now gives you the strength to do what is right. Amen. Amen. So I don't know if you're getting the sequence. The first point is to come to the brazen altar. And what do you do there? Repentance. So I come to God and say, God, my life has not been going towards Jerusalem. I've been going to Moab. Moab is the flesh. Moab is the flesh. And from Moab, you go to Ammon, and from there, you land the Philistine. From there, it is a realm, and you enter Babylon and Egypt. It is a topography of darkness. They link. You understand? They walk together. Because from Moab, you see the one that came to Samson, what's that girl's name? Delilah. You understand? And you, because see, Delilah was where? She was in that. You know what God means? Pleasures.
Hey.
It's wine. It's a place of wine, merriment, parties, online parties and downline parties. You understand? That is, so you have come to Delilah, and that's where the church is, merrymaking.
Hey.
So it's a realm, and this woman, Naomi, she was pleasantness. Don't you understand? She has a prophecy for her to become pleasant, to become part of Christ. But she went. Thank God for repentance. She woke up and said she heard that bread had returned. He says, I will arise and I'll go back.
You understand?
So when we make that decision to go back, then we start, you come to barley harvest. Yeah, she came to the next one, all the other one, wheat harvest, and ended up at the feet of Christ. She was joined to Boaz, who's a type of Christ. You understand? So it's a journey of the soul, and I believe where God is bringing us to is that place of repentance. To say, my lifestyle is not headed for Jerusalem. I'm headed for Moab. So, say three times you must go up to Zion. But this woman, this soul, instead of going up to Zion, was going up to Moab.
To Moab.
Now, let me end the story of that woman and the well. The woman at the well is the prophecy of life, the source of life. She had been to 5 husbands already. So that is the ministry of the flesh. That is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's where she was. She's been in that place. She's gone from one, he didn't satisfy her. And he said, I'm going to give you water. And it's the water of life. You drink of this fountain, you will never thirst again. That thirst is because of the cry of the soul for life. And remember, that is what is happening at the golden altar. You're right. He says that those people, that they shall desire death and they shall not see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are desiring. You know, death means that who does not have a life of God.
Yeah, mama.
You desire. Some people even add weight because that's the way to. You see, the soul works by compensation. Okay, when you're angry, you drink alcohol, it quenches your anger. You go to bed. You woke up in the morning. You woke up with idol. It says, Proverbs says, I will yet seek it again. He said, who has woes? Who has sorrows? You understand? He that tarries long at the wine may not just be that liquid. The wine may be a doctrine. It may be a career. It may be a job. It may be a pleasure or habit or whatever it is at the end of the day, because the soul wants pleasure. It's crying out. It's like that woman at the well. But there is a life we can get.
That will make us never
see. When you drink this water, the soul must come to that place of repentance.
Amen.
Say, oh God, I am going the wrong way. Have mercy upon me. Now, when that man begins to cry, look at that young girl. She was crying. She was looking for water. No water. You know the person I'm talking about. No water to drink. It was the maid of Sarah. What's her name?
Welcome.
The mother of Ishmael. Hagar. She was crying. Oh, she was looking for water.
Okay,
and as she began to cry, what happens? The angel came to her and said, look by her left. And he saw water. I want to tell you that there is water.
Amen.
But you see, you can't see that place of life until you come to the place of repentance. Amen. Until I come to the place of repentance.
Amen.
And I say, oh God, help me. And that's why I like that song. Deliver my soul, oh Lord. It says, in my distress, I cry unto thee, oh Lord. And he hears me. And he says, deliver my soul, oh God. That is the cry of Zion today. If you cry, say, God, deliver my soul.
Amen.
Then he will say, he will show you, this is the place of water. You know? And when I come there and I see the water, then I can respond to God and say, Abba, I want to be a son. It's a desire. Oh God, make me a son. Then Amen. God responds by sending his son.
Amen.
You understand? The spirit of his son. The spirit of his son is a lampstand, the lampstand and the table of sugar. The word and the spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The spirit has seven lamps. Yeah, there are seven spirits that come to enlighten, to quicken, to strengthen, to judge. So open the eyes of understanding. And the life of God starts flowing into you. You understand? You don't go, do you see any bird that has a farm? They don't need a farm because God feeds them. If you are God's husbandry, then he will feed you. That is, he will literally pour his life, his pleasure into you.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
You don't need to eat food to be to have pleasure.
Amen.
He says in his presence is fullness of
joy.
You understand? So you receive joy direct from God. God made emotion, so can't he make my emotion to be joyful? He says that will make me to have pleasure. He said, let the bones that you have broken have pleasure. You understand? He says, do not cast me out from your presence. You know, let the joy, the bones that you have broken, has joy. Amen. So let me end with that scripture, Psalm 55. So I think we should end.
Psalm 55.
Is this 51, not 55? Let's start from verse 1 because it shows the repentance. Remember the message is come to the place of repentance. And who is coming? It is the mind. The emotion, that those four natures, that is the four corner of that brazen altar. I am coming there. He says, to achieve position, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him, after he had gone into Bathsheba, say, have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, unto the multitude of thy tender mercies,
blot out my transgression.
Wash me truly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. And thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear in this matter when thou judgest me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity,
and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, thou desirest where? Truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Then look as he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. And wash me, and I shall be white. Then look at verse 8. Make me to hear. What is hear? That's the senses of the mind, your ears. You see, you now begin to hear another frequency. ITV and BBC and ITN. What's the other one? And so on. All those ones. You now hear another frequency. Make me to hear joy. And what? Gladness. That the bones which thou hast broken
may rejoice.
The word bone means substance, strength. It means it is that the backbone of your life, the basic way in which your life runs. That is what it means, that bone. You know, that you're broken, they rejoice. He's speaking of the emotions. Okay. Hide thy face from my sins. I block out my sins. Create in me a clean heart. I renew thy spirit within me. That is the spirit of adoption. That the right spirit means the spirit of God that comes into the soul. It's no longer in the spirit. Is now coming down into the realms of emotion, desire, and will. And if the Spirit of God comes there, remember, He's coming with pleasure, goodness, sound mind, joy,
amen,
right desire for God. You amen understand? And my will be fixed upon focusing on God. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 12. You see, when you have repented all of those things, you now come to the, what you were looking for before. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation,
and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Joy is the pleasure men are looking for. But it's the Holy Ghost that is going to bring it to you. He says, the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Do you know that when you have the Holy Ghost supplying you with joy, you'll be strong.
Amen.
Yes.
You're not cast down. The other depressions of no money, no this, no that, it's gone away. The things are not, it's not that they will be removed, because it says that in every situation, God will make a way of escape. So it's not saying He will take away those things. Those things will be there, you'll still be in little. But you'll be flying high now. Don't you understand? Yeah. You are still here, but after you're concerned, those things are not there. You don't see them. So look at Hagar. She was there crying. When God opened the water, her situation changed. In fact, the angel said, go back to thy submit to her. So she went back, but it came a different person. So the thing is that we have not seen that source of life.
Amen.
When we touch it, the situation will still be there, but we'll be riding.
Amen.
On top. We'll be
yes,
on top.
Amen.
You say, then will I teach
transgressors thy way,
and sinners
shall be converted unto thee.
Say, deliver me from God's guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue that sing aloud of thy love. You see, singing is testimony.
Amen.
If you don't have a testimony of joy, you cannot sing anything. Okay, my soup has boiled. Praise the Lord. You understand? There's no testimony, because you have not come to repentance. When you come to repentance and God answers you, you come forth with the joy.
Oh,
and that's the true worship.
Amen. You know? Amen.
It says, O Lord, open thy mind lips, and my mouth shall sing for thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else will I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God
are a broken and a spirit, a broken and a contrite heart.
O God, thou wilt not despise.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, do good in thy good pleasure. Is it again? Unto Zion. Hallelujah. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. The devil is not going to be running all over us as he was doing before.
We say
that he that is slow to anger is what? He's stronger than the mighty. The power I have, but ISIS is not my problem, because I only need to think about it and one angel will blow them out. Do you understand? So the ISIS, all those, the problem is me. Do I have authority? When I have authority over me, God will speak a word. If I think about it, then it's done.
Amen.
That is the authority. That's what before you get there, I must first of all overcome this ISIS within. Yes, there's an emotion. There's a beast within.
Yes.
God says, bring it down.
Brutus.
You know.
Must be destroyed.
He says, because they are Syrian. He says, you know, he says, awake, awake from the dust.
must be.
You know, ladies are Syrian, not able to walk in or out. He says, then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering, a whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks
upon the altar. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, the God is raising sons.
Amen.
You know, and the last scripture about this Abba is the scripture about sonship. It says, the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different from a servant.
Yeah.
Do you know what a child? A child has no wisdom.
Under tables and governors.
It's simple. The soul is so simple. It doesn't have descendants. He says that the child, has the heir, even though it's a child, is like a slave.
Yeah.
All right, it's under bondage of the elements of the world.
Oh, yeah,
you know what is element? All those serpentine, crawling, wild beast, bird. Those are the elements of the earth. That the soul is being ruled by those natures. As long as my soul is there, I'm not yet a son. I'm God.
Amen.
I'm a child, but I cannot come to authority.
Yes, sir.
So the sons of God are those who will rise up. All these rebellions around the world, ISIS and so on. It's the source of God. When God activates the source of God, they will put that over there.
Amen.
You understand? So, it says the heir, as long as it's a servant, a child, you understand? But at the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, you know, and to cry, Abba,
Father.
So there's a spirit of sonship that's being released.
Amen.
And that spirit is to make me a son. That is to walk in me.
Ayilobono.
To create a son consciousness.
Lekegobo.
To create a heaven consciousness.
Yes, sir.
To take away sin consciousness.
Yes.
And take away world consciousness.
Yeah.
And bring the consciousness of God.
Aye.
Amen.
I'm going to my God.
Exactly. And I begin to test and hunger. And I can come to that place where I can say, Abba.
Abba, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, my God.
So I think we can take a response to God.
Amen.
Oh my God, deliver my soul, Lord. Deliver my soul, Lord, from my lips and from my deceitful tongue. In my distress, Psalm 120, verse 1 and 2, to the Lord. And he heard me. Psalm 121. Yes, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord.
Deliver my soul, O Lord, from life. From a deceitful tongue. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me.
120.
Deliver my soul, O Lord.
Deliver my soul,
O Lord. From lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.